this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion coming to you from the Open Group's Enterprise Architecture Practitioners Conference in Boston, the week of July 19th, 2010. We've assembled a panel to delve into the advancing role and powerful potential for enterprise architecture. The need for enterprise architecture seems to be more pressing than ever, yet efforts to professionalize EA do not necessarily lead to increased credibility and adoption, at least not yet. We'll examine the shift of IT from mysterious art to more engineered science and how enterprise architects face a unique opportunity to usher in the concept of business architecture and increased business agility. The arc of the economy's grip on budgets and the fast-changing sourcing models like cloud computing are pointing to a reckoning for enterprise architecture, of now defining a vast new promise for IT business alignment improvement, or conversely, a potentially lost and costly opportunity. So please join me in better understanding the dynamic role of enterprise architecture by welcoming our guests. We're here with Jeannie Ross, Director and Principal Research Scientist at the MIT Center for Information Systems Research. Welcome to Briefings Direct.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We're also here with Dave Hornford. He's an architecture practice principal at Integritas Solutions, as well as the chairman of the Open Group Architecture Forum. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome. It's good to be here.
And we're also here with Len Feshkins. He's the vice president for skills and capabilities at the Open Group. Welcome, Len.
Hi, Dana. Glad to be here.
So let me start with looking at this inflection point or opportunity. As many have discussed here at the conference, there's a lot to be done and gained by proper enterprise architecture. But the stakes are high because not all these organizations seem to be rallying around this concept. So why the stakes are high and why haven't people gravitated to EA?
I think the stakes are high because organizations are becoming more digital out of necessity. It's a more digital economy. Thus, IT is more strategic. And I think people see that, but outside of people who have already embraced architecture, there is some reluctance to think that the way we get more value from IT is basically by taming it, by establishing a vision and building to standards and understanding how that relates back to new ways of doing business, actually developing standards around business processes and around data. So there's a piece of it that's just not appealing. And besides, we feel like this should all be about innovation, which should be all exciting stuff. So I just think architecture just doesn't have the right feel for a lot of business people who are saying, oh, sure, digital economy is very exciting.
I suppose also based on what we've been hearing here at the conference, there's this delayed gratification effect, whereby a lot of the structure and discipline that you might bring to architecture can have a long-term and strategic benefit, but most people are focused on the here and the now. So a recurring theme for me here has been, how do we accommodate both? How do we present something to our executives and across the organization that they can work with now, but that also will put us in a long-term good position? Jeannie?
I think that's right. And this is where I think there's a certain art in architecture. We've learned a lot about methodologies and disciplines and tools, but there is an art to be able to take the long-term vision for an organization and not just say, it'll come, guys, be patient, but rather, I understand that starting tomorrow, we need to start generating value from more disciplined processes. And I think that great organizations actually learn how to do something in the near term that builds towards the long term, but also delivers on some new value to the organization today.
So, Len, we're looking at quite a bit of change. We're asking the organization to change in how they perhaps use and perceive IT, elevate the way in which they process the logic of the business itself to an architecture level. And then we're also asking of these architects, the individuals, to perhaps put on many hats to be multidisciplined. So to you, the question is, in examining the state of EA, where is this concept of a professional category or definition of EA, where is it at this point in time?
I think it's really just a gleam in many people's eye at this point. I think if you look at the discipline of enterprise architecture and compare it to mature professions like law and medicine, we're back 200 or 300 years ago. There's been doing a lot of research recently into the professionalization of other disciplines, and most of the people studying the subject come up with a fairly short list of characteristics of professions. And they usually include things like a well-defined body of knowledge, and a well-defined educational program, in particular degree programs, often that are offered by schools that are specifically focused on the discipline. It's not just a department within a larger organization. Some kind of professional certification or vetting process, and often even some kind of legal sanction, a right to practice, a right to bear the title. We don't have any of those things right now for enterprise architecture. The body of knowledge is widely distributed and is largely proprietary. And it's sort of, we're sort of at the state where if you were to go to a lawyer, the lawyers would try to sell themselves based on secret processes that only they had that would allow you to get a fair shake before a judge. Or the same similar thing with the doctor, that, you know, come to this hospital because we're the only people who know how to do this particular kind of procedure. So we've got a long way to go. But the big thing we've got going for us is that, as Jeannie pointed out, because of the stakes are so high and because so many organizations are becoming so dependent upon the competent practice of enterprise architecture as a discipline, there's a lot of energy in the system to move forward very quickly on the professionalization of the discipline, and in addition to take advantage of what we learned from watching the professionalization of disciplines like law, medicine, engineering, civil architecture, et cetera. So we've got a long ways to go, but we're running really hard to make some progress.
Dave, we have high stakes. We have a great opportunity. This is a cake that hasn't been baked yet, so folks can work with this. As a practitioner and someone who's involved with the forum, tell us a little bit about where you see the current traction. Where are people who are doing this doing it well, and what is it about them that makes them prepared for this?
Where people are doing it well is where they're focused on business value. The question of what is business value is highly dependent. People will mention a term, agility. I work with a mining company. They define agility as the ability to disassemble their business. They have a mine. Someone buys the mine. We need to remove the mine from the business. A different organization will define agility a different way. But underpinning all of that is, what is the business trying to achieve? What is their vision? What is their goal? So practitioners who are pursuing this have to be very clear on what is the end state? What is the goal? What is the business transformation? And how will the digital assets of the corporation, the IT asset, actually enable where they're going so that they're able to move themselves to a target more effectively than their competition? The stakes are high in the sense that should someone in your industry figure this out, they will change the game on you, and you will now be in serious trouble. As long as all of your competition is struggling as long as you are, you're okay. It's when someone figures it out, and they will change the game.
All right, Jeannie, through your research and publishing, you've identified some steps, four that we heard about earlier. Two of these seem to be very focused on IT, but then progress beyond IT. And it's this transition that seems to get people a little tripped up. So we talk about often platforms that the IT people are focused on. I have a project. I have a set of requirements. I'm going to install and manage and optimize a platform. But at some point, that needs to work towards the business agility. And so help us understand the role of the enterprise architect today in making that transition.
I think right now the enterprise architect would help design the platforms, but the critical thing to recognize about platforms is they represent processes and then the underpinnings of processes, which would be data, technology, and applications. So the architect is working very closely in designing these platforms with people who have a vision of how a process ought to be performed. And it might be in terms of an end-to-end process. It might be in terms of a process that's done repeatedly in different parts of an organization. But the architect's role is to make sure that there is a vision, they may have to help provide that vision, as to what that process is and how it fits into the bigger vision that Dave was talking about. So there's a lot of negotiation and envisioning that becomes part of an architect's role that is above and beyond just the technology piece and the methodology that we've worked so hard at in terms of developing the discipline.
Mm-hmm. Len, when you go out and hear the requirements in the field and you see the need for a professional category, it seems that things are moving so fast that it's almost perhaps a benefit to have this as a loose concept. So the question for you is, if business processes are dynamic and continue to be perhaps accelerating in how quickly people need to adapt, isn't the role of the enterprise architect one at managing adaptability rather than actually being a category like a lawyer or a doctor?
Yes, but I don't think that changes the fact that the skills associated with doing architecture are largely independent of the domain that you're working in. So there is a category set of capabilities that an architect has to have, which are largely independent of where they're working in. And I think one of the things that Dave and Jeannie were talking, I was thinking that despite the fact that the discipline is so immature as a profession, we're still doing surprisingly well. So in terms of its maturity as a profession, it's maybe 100 or 200 years back compared to law or medicine. But on the other hand, the quality of the practice is much more like where medicine and law were 50 or 25 years ago. So there's a disparity between the capability, the quality of the services that enterprise architects are providing and the maturity of the profession. And I think that's a characteristic of architects. I mean, architects have to be inherently adaptable. And I have found that in a lot of cases, we make a big deal about the technical expertise of architects, but a lot of architectural engagements that I've been involved in, I didn't actually know anything at all about the subject matter that I was being asked to architect. What I did know how to do was ask the right questions and find the people who knew the answers to those and help the people who actually had the information orchestrate it and arrange it and understand it in a way that allowed them to solve the problem that they really had. So I agree that there's something fundamentally different about the kind of work that architects do compared to, say, lawyers and doctors, and it is a much more dynamic environment. But the skills to deal with that dynamism are not really dynamic themselves. They're pretty stable in terms of the ability of architects to face a whole host of different kinds of problems and apply the same skills to them in a way that produces successful results.
Dave, we've heard the need for architects to be evangelists, to rally the troops, to get people on the same page, to perhaps hasten transformation, which is inherently difficult. So how about leadership? We haven't heard that word, but it seems that the role of the architect is to really be a leader above many other activities within the organization. And so what is it about that leadership capability that you think can, in a sense, make or break the enterprise architect?
Fundamental with leadership in enterprise architecture is that architects don't own things. They're not responsible for the business process. They're not responsible for the sales results. They are responsible for leading a group of people to that transformation or to the happy place, to the end state that you're trying to achieve. And if you do not have good leadership skills, the rest of it fundamentally doesn't matter, because you'll be sitting back and saying, well, if I only had a hammer, if I only had authority, I could make people do things. Well, if you had that authority, you would be the general manager. You'd be the COO. And they're looking for someone to assist them on areas of the business at times that they can't be there. I learned far more about doing enterprise architecture on an 18-month period when I was a general manager of a subsidiary for a telephone company, and my job was to integrate that into the telephone company. I got that role as the enterprise architect for the integration. But through a series of transformations, I became the general manager of the subsidiary. I learned more about there because I had the balance between actually having authority and not having to do some of the softer leadership and coaching myself into doing the changes that were necessary. And seeing that transformation was a great learning because it highlighted you must lead as an architect, because if you do not lead and do not take the risk to lead, the transformation won't occur. And I think one of the barriers for the profession today is many architects are not prepared to take the risk of leadership.
Jeannie, what about this issue of authority? Just because the enterprise architect has the vision, maybe has a very good plan as to what should take place in a particular way for that particular company at this particular time, but if they don't have the budget, the authority, and if they can't marshal those people that do have the budget and authority to cooperate, wow, lost opportunity. So let's discuss, if you will, the issue of authority and the role of the enterprise architect.
Yeah, I think that's quite a dilemma. So in an environment where the architect can see the possibilities and can't win the commitment of other people, it's really not possible to win that. I mean, one of two things has to happen. Either the architect is successful in spreading the word and getting commitment, or the architect who can see this should go somewhere where that's possible, because I just don't think you can successfully pursue architecture alone. You can't just go off in a corner and be a successful architect, as we've been discussing here. So I think the first thing you do, because you're in an environment where you get it and you see it and you know what needs to be done, you do everything you can to get commitment across managers who can make things happen. But I do think that there are situations where that's not going to happen, and you're better off finding an organization that's longing for good architecture talent, and they are out there. There are plenty of organizations looking for architects to help them down that path.
I think a key point that you made this morning in your presentation was the fundamental four commitments. If those commitments aren't there, the organization will not absorb, consume, benefit from enterprise architecture.
Len?
One of the things that a phrase that you'll hear architects use a lot is compelling value proposition. And the authority of an architect ultimately comes from their ability to articulate a compelling value proposition for architecture in general, for a specific architect in a specific situation. And Jeannie's absolutely right. Even if you have a compelling value proposition and it falls on deaf ears for whatever reason, that's the end of the road. There isn't any place you can go, because the only leverage an architect has is the ability to articulate a compelling value proposition that says, look, I recognize this, I acknowledge this is a promise, but here's why you have reason to believe that I can actually deliver on this, and that when I have delivered on this, this thing itself will deliver these promised benefits. But you have to be able to make that argument, and you have to be able to do it in the language of the audience that you're speaking to. And I think this is probably one of the biggest problems that architects coming from a technical background have, is they will tell you about features and functions, but never get around to talking about benefits. And my experience with business people is they don't really care how you do something. All they care is what results you're going to produce. And what you do is really, it's just a black box. And all they really care about is whether or not the black box delivers on the promises that it made. And the ability to do that, to be able to convince somebody that you can actually do this, the black box will actually solve this problem, without going into the details of the intricacies and sort of trying to prove that by, if I just show you how it works, then you'll obviously come to the conclusion that it will do what I promised it. You can't do that. That for most audiences, that just doesn't work. So that's probably one of the most fundamental skills that architects need in order to work through this problem of getting people to buy into what they're trying to sell.
And based on what we've been hearing here at the conference, the metric of success and perhaps even the lever to get the authority and commitment is this notion of business agility. And as Dave pointed out, business agility can be very different for different companies at different times. It could be a divestiture, it could be growing into a new market, it could be acquiring, what have you. So if we need to get to business agility with our focus on the short term as well as the long-term strategy, what is it that an enterprise architect needs to do in order to assess and project business agility? Perhaps the technical folks not quite as used to something like that?
Wow. I think the thing to recognize about business agility is that it's a journey. And so you don't want to start offering or making your compelling business value something you can't deliver for 3 years. So many times the path to agility is through risk management, where basically you can demonstrate the ability of the IT unit to reduce downtime, to increase security, or lower costs. IT unit can often find ways to lower IT costs or to lower operational costs through IT. And so many times a compelling value proposition for agility is down the road. We've already learned how to save money, and then it's an easier sell to say, oh, you know, we haven't used IT all that well in the past, but now we can make you more agile. I just don't think anybody's going to buy it. So I just think it's a matter of taking it a step at a time, showing the organization what IT can help them do, and then over time, there's this natural transition. In fact, I'm guessing a lot of organizations say, hey, look, we're more agile than we used to be. And it wasn't because they said we're going to be agile, but rather because they said we're going to keep doing things better day after day.
Because the economy remains difficult, because budgets are under pressure, this notion of cost could be really a good common ground to bind areas that perhaps have been disparate in terms of IT, business, and so forth. Len, what about that? Enterprise architects as cost cutters or cost optimizers. Is this a short-term, let's do this because the economy requires it, or is that really a sort of key fundamental point of successful architects?
No, I think it's a long-term requirement. I think it goes back to what the essence of architecture is about. And that I think architects are ultimately charged with making sure that whatever it is they're architecting is fit for purpose. And fitness for purpose involves not doing any more than you absolutely have to. I mean, the notion of engineering efficiency is sort of built into the architectural concept. And it goes back to an idea that was developed in the 80s in the business process reengineering movement, which was, don't try to, the best way to make things simpler is to get rid of stuff. And the stuff that you need to get rid of is the stuff that's not essential. It doesn't really address the specific mission that you're trying to achieve. So I think that architects don't cut costs for the sake of cutting costs. They cut costs by removing unnecessary cruft from whatever it is that they're responsible for architecting, and focusing in on the stuff that really matters and the stuff that's actually going to deliver the value, not stuff that's there because it looks keen or because it's the latest technology widget or whatever. So, and again, that's an inherent property of what it is that architects do. So just like agility is in some respects a side effect of what architects do, I think we need to keep in mind that agility is a means to the end of alignment. You can have a lot of agility. If you never achieve alignment, then you're just continuously misaligned. Similarly, the cost cutting itself is not the goal. The goal is ultimately efficiency and making sure that you're not wasting time doing stuff doesn't matter, because you not only are you wasting time, you're obviously wasting money, you're committing resources that are unnecessary to solve this problem. And actually, those additional resources sometimes just get in the way. They make things worse rather than making things better. So the architect's approach to dealing with the architectural way of problem solving means that agility and cost cutting sort of they're not short-term focuses. They're just built into the idea of why we do architecture in the first place.
Dave?
And that cost isn't necessarily, a lot of people focus on IT cost. It is cost to the business.
Total cost.
And it's not agility of your IT plant or your IT infrastructure, it's agility of your business. And if you lose that linkage, you lose the alignment that Len mentioned, then you're not able to actually deliver the compelling value proposition.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier about the notion of moving from a platform mentality to a business process and agility mentality. We hear a lot from the vendors and suppliers. They have a role in this as well. So the architects are beavering away in these companies, trying to change culture, transform the business. But we hear oftentimes marketing from the vendors about, if you do this product or this platform or this technology, it will solve your problems. Is there a message to the enterprise architects that they should be taking perhaps to their organization about the role of the vendors? And is that changing from what we've perhaps perceived in the past as the role of a vendor or a supplier? Len?
Big question. Yes. The short answer is yes. I often joke that every architect will answer the question, yes, but. So here comes the but. There's a limit to the leverage you have over suppliers. I mean, architects have to work with the material that's available to them. Hopefully, the vendors are listening to the needs of their customers. So they're doing the same kind of thing on their side that architects at the customers are trying to do.
Don't the suppliers have to adjust too? We're all in transformation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big ecosystem. And if you're selling something that nobody needs or wants, you're going to go out of business. So the suppliers have to be adaptable to the needs of the customers who are changing. So it's like we're all in this big dance and everybody's trying to avoid stepping on somebody else's feet or tripping up and falling over on their own. So how that actually sorts itself out, well, that's a difficult question to answer because there are time lags and some organizations misread the environment and the current business climate and they go out of business. Other organizations are very good at anticipating future needs by looking at trends and they happen to be in the right place at the right time when somebody needs something. They've got it and it's available and they end up winning the battle. So, yes, we all have to learn how to cooperate. And again, I think one of the goals of professionalizing the discipline is making it possible for architects on both sides of that relationship to communicate with one another in language that they both understand and recognize that you can't optimize your side at the expense of the other side because that's at some point that's going to come back and bite you. And making it possible for architects to have those conversations and again, to make it apparent to the business people on both sides what the business value is of, a big part of architecture work has been around the development of standards that facilitate interoperability. And in many respects, conforming to an interoperability standard is counterintuitive to a business because you basically give away whatever proprietary advantage you had by locking in the customer to doing it your own way. But on the other hand, the same mechanism that allows you to lock a customer in also allows the customer to lock you out if they decide that they get a better payoff from taking advantage of interoperability amongst multiple other vendors who've agreed to collaborate and adopt a particular standard. So it's all about, reading the environment and responding appropriately. And again, it's this ultimately goes back to this idea of being of fitness for purpose. So,
Jeannie, the relationship between the enterprise architect, the business, and the supplier, is this a evolving dance? What are some of the new choreography steps?
I'm not sure I know the dance yet. Certainly, I think one benefit we get from good architecture is that we understand the process components and the underlying technology and applications and data components, which allows us to take advantage of what's on the market. So if there's a good component, we can grab it. And if there's not, then we don't need to take it. And so what architecture is doing, and I think we're seeing vendors start to respond to this, but a long way to go, is that there's a real developing marketplace for the components that many organizations need. I look out there and I say, okay, now pretty much everyone gets that they don't have to provide any benefits internally now to their employees, because you can just outsource that. We get that component. It's a plug and play. And I just think that there are things that are more core to the business that we'll see more and more are available. And I don't think the architects are going to also become the vendor managers. I think they're the ones who are going to design the components and recognize the interfaces. But they'll be working closely with the vendors to make sure the pieces come together.
It does seem that the vendors are appreciating that they're elevating inside their enterprises, their customers, the notion of enterprise architecture is elevating beyond platforms. Their response seems to be that we'll provide everything, that we'll merge, acquire, and provide everything at an architecture level. Do you think that's the right way?
Well, I guess I should note that I actually use the term platform differently from you. So there is technology platform, which I think is what you're referring to. But we do think there are digitized process platforms that are really valuable. And many times, vendors can provide the whole thing. So software as a service is a partial example, but actual business process outsourcing really accomplishes that. And I think of these as potential platforms for organizations. But then, as I think you would note, there's a fine line then between a platform and an outsourced process. And I think organizations are trying to piece that together. You know, what's our platform? What are the components we're plugging into and taking out of that platform? That's the architectural challenge. I feel like I just didn't answer your question, but it is the thought that came to my mind.
Well, it occurs to me that this is another point of variability, and that the architect needs to not only consider the variables internally, but the fact that suppliers are redefining themselves, and that cloud computing perhaps is pushing the envelope on what you would consider as sourcing options. So to Dave, last question before we close up, this notion of a dynamic environment for sourcing and vendors redefining their role, perhaps trying to expand their role, to me sounds like the enterprise architect's role becomes almost more critical as a result.
I would agree with it. If we are going to look at our sourcing options, using the word component as opposed to platform, I can acquire a benefit. I can acquire as a service. I can acquire a benefits engine as a service, or I can go and build my own and manage my own process, whether it's fully manual or digitized. Those choices come down to what is my value in my business. Different organizations will have different things that matter to them. They will structure and compose their businesses for a different value chain, for a different value proposition to their customers. And if we get back to the core of what an architect has to deliver, it's understanding what is the business's value. Where are we delivering value to my customers? How that organization is structured, how it succeeds, how it gets its agility, how it gets its cost may be different for different organizations, and we have a larger collection of tools available to us without clear, this is the right answer. Everyone does it this way.
Well, very good. We'll have to wrap it up there. It's obviously a deep and interesting subject, and we'll be revisiting it often, I'm sure. We've been discussing the advancing role and powerful potential for enterprise architecture and how practitioners and leaders face a vast new promise for IT business alignment improvement, but it's also quite a bit of missing parts and perhaps even a lost opportunity if you don't do this and your competitor does. This sponsored podcast discussion is coming to you from the Open Group's Enterprise Architecture Practitioners Conference in Boston. We're here the week of July 19th, 2010. Please join me in welcoming, or rather thanking, our guests. We've been here with Jeannie Ross, Director and Principal Research Scientist for the MIT Center for Information Systems Research. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dana.
We're also here with Dave Hornford. He's the Architecture Practice Principal at Integritas Solutions, as well as the chairman of the Open Group's Architecture Forum. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dana.
And also Len Feshkins, he's Vice President of Skills and Capabilities at the Open Group. Thanks, Len.
Thank you, Dana.
This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you've been listening to Briefings Direct. Thanks for joining, and come back next time.